operating Australia's largest complementary SME model, helping the defence sector optimise capability and assets. Gold Group presents the Defence Ready Seminar Series podcasts. The Defence Ready Seminar Series is a joint initiative of Gold Group, Hunter Defence, Aiden, and the Centre for Defence Industry Capability.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Defence Ready Seminar Series of podcasts. My name's Grant McCarran, and in this episode, we'll be covering the Defence ISO Advanced topic. For this discussion, as I was with the Defence ISO Basics episode, I'm joined by Michael McLean, who is the Managing Director of McLean Management Consultants. Welcome, Michael.
G'day, Grant.
Now, folks, if you haven't yet listened to the podcast episode on Defence ISO Basics, please do go and have a listen to that now. We'll wait for you, because that will explain not only about the ISO basics that underlies everything that we're going to discuss in this episode, but also gives you a background and introduction to Michael and his team, who will be presenting the workshops. So we'll guess that you've come back now. So now we'll just get straight into the ISO Advanced. Michael, can you tell us about how the advanced seminar builds on everything from the basics and what the contents of the workshops are in this seminar?
In some ways, some people may be a little bit scared that it's called advanced, but it isn't that advanced. A lot of the stuff that people have been through in regards to the other sessions on the Defence Ready seminars have been kind of building to the last part, whereby we're trying to make people feel that they are comfortable with working in defence, but be also be quite wide open about the idea that once they get into defence, they're really going to have to continually improve their business. So the Defence ISO Advanced is actually trying to pull people thinking together and their systems together so that when working in defence, they won't be surprised by what's coming down the so-called emails and tenders and data and additional requirements. And a lot of people get kind of scared, actually. They think, oh, my goodness, how can I do this? So the Defence ISO Advanced one is just trying to settle everybody down, pull it together, and we'll take you through just four workshops. And I've used a thing like Capri. Not that we've been able to travel to the Isle of Capri in the last few months or years. Matter of fact, I don't think we can do it next year. But anyway, I don't know where we're going to go with travel, but they can dream about Capri. So I've used CPRI to cover the four workshops. So it's basically a C in regards to all the topics, P in regards to planning and all those types of things, R, and I'm sure they'll be hearing a lot about things called risk over the next few years, and also, funny enough, involvement. So one of the things that Sally did with wellness and also Rinska did with kind of making sure you got business continuity, pulling that all together by involving not only just your people and your management team, but your suppliers for supply chain and also what you're going to do with safety and all those types of things.
Thanks, Michael. That was a great summary. Can you now go into more detail on each of the workshops? Tell us all about what's in each one, but also give us some examples of how you'll be presenting real-world information to help people get an idea of how you'll be working in examples during the presentation of these workshops. And also, please, while you're talking about the workshops, give us an understanding of how they fit in with the rest of the Defence Ready seminars and build on the ISO Basics one.
Right. Well, let's start with the first one, the Capri. The C is in regards to context. So all management system standards. So anybody that's working in defence would be by this stage ISO 9001 certified. Or for those that have been requested by people like Boeing or Northrop Grumman or Serco, or maybe even in other businesses like in Transport for New South Wales, Transport for Queensland and Victoria, they would have been required to have ISO 9001 certification. And every one of those has the first requirement being context. So we'll cover a little bit more depth of what we did in the ISO basics. So a lot of the other sessions in the Defence Ready, they're the things that I have thought about in regards to tendering, business development, marketing and wellness and security that people and data that people need to understand so that their business context is appreciated. And everybody's context is changing. And as we've seen in the COVID period now, nothing stays the same, and we need to be continually having what they call an environmental scan, just scanning the horizon. And there's been many movies, I suppose, with a lot of people, like 9 to 5 and other ones, where people were kind of, oh, well, we'll just do something, and we'll get all the management team together. But then you find that somebody in the office or the cleaner or the truck driver has been seeing something out in the market, in the environment, or heard on the grapevine that something's happening. So the last part of this Capri is involvement. So you'll see by the end of the 4 workshops how it all comes together. But getting your people involved in doing some of this kind of strategy and context is important. And the second part of this C is capability. The Capability Acquisition Sustainment Group and many business excellence models and benchmarking kind of things that people assess the business on all want people to be capable. But to get capable, you have to understand your business and your processes and your systems so that they're strong enough and resilient enough to be able to demonstrate that you are capable of not only just supplying defense, but capable of responding to any opportunity. So a lot of the things we covered in ISO Basics is one thing about risk and opportunities. So is it a risk to go into defense? Certainly is. But is it an opportunity? Yes. But what defense and the CASG, or Capability Acquisition Sustainment Group, want to see is that you don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't try and say, we're going to do defense and we're going to be the number one supplier for this and we're going to put all our product development or new ideas or this whole factory just for defense. They won't like that, and no defense prime likes it because they don't want you to be dependent upon them. And I'm sure we all know, Grant, when you're in the ocean, when we used to be able to go to the surf, you're waiting for the next set. Well, that's what defense is like. You're waiting for the next big set of 3 waves to come through. And sometimes it doesn't. And then all of a sudden, lo and behold, here comes a great set of 3 opportunities. And Dale would have covered this in tenders. Yeah, which one do we go to? Which one do we grab? Which one do we hop on? So part of this thing about capability is knowing that you can actually swim to get the wave. But it's also when you get there, now we've got it. Oh, now they really want to see us. They want to come and look at our business. What do you mean they want to come and look at our business? And I'll cover one little case study here, Grant. There was a supplier that we won under the Center for Defense Industry Capability and also an enterprise entrepreneurs program. And I said to the forklift driver, well, you are supplying the Navy. Yep. You know, one day, sometime, somewhere, they're going to come through and have a look at this factory. They won't come up here. And I said, well, you never know. They tend to do these things called process walks and process audits. And lo and behold, he thought about it. And I came back the following week and I looked at the factory and it was all cleaned up. And I said, where's all the containers? We fixed it up. I said, okay. Oh, it's all painted. They took my advice. They even painted a little area all nice and put it into a country and western type logo. So this is defense quarantine area. Put a, ropes around it, put the product from the defense in there. And that was it. I just left and did my consulting, did my something. Anyway, I came back 2 weeks later and I walked in and everybody was at the front door. I said, Michael, did you know about defense coming to visit us? And I said, no. Did you send them? No. Why? Well, they turned up. When did they turn up? You know, the day that you were here a few weeks ago? Yeah. They turned up the next day. And I said, oh, how did you go? Oh, we would get really worried. They walked through the factory. They saw it was all nicely laid out. There was nothing unsafe. All the lights were working. Everything you said that we should be fixing, we did. And we had all the boards ready. And we had that, that little area, Michael? I said, oh, yeah. I said, what happened? He says, they got there. They saw the stuff that was in defense. They saw our procedures and our manuals were all there. They had the things that were quarantined and tagged. And then what happened? They just said, oh, that's it. We're going. Well, where did they go? And I said, oh, they just went to lunch. That was it. So sometimes they want to see the capability. It's not just and mining companies see it, Komatsu and, Gemini Gas. So they want to see it. So the next part of this C is continuity. So one of the things about continuity is that just like the waves coming through the ocean, are they continuous or are they continual? So you got to be ready to have business continuity to make sure that you're doing that diversification with other businesses and other customers, so you don't have all your eggs one basket. So you can actually have the continuity of getting the cash flow through to the business. There's another part of this C, which is rather kind of daunting in some ways. It's called configuration. So in the automotive industry, and you can imagine in defense too, we're working with some parts of the Army and the Air Force and previously with Maritime. You can imagine buying, let's say a propeller. Well, the propeller for a ship, it's a bit different now, of course, but a propeller has to fit on a shaft. Oh, right. Oh, we only supply the propeller. Right, but your propeller has to fit this shaft and it's got to go on with bearings and seals and all these types of things. Oh, it's nothing to do with us. Well, actually, it is. So what Defence is looking for in regards to capability stuff is for the suppliers and everybody to work together to configure all the parts, systems, and modules that fit together. So I won't bore everybody with statistics, but it's like when I was doing production design analysis as a fitter and turner, and I had no idea what this was. So I'm at Sydney Tech, and I said, how am I going to pass this course? And it's configuration. So the lecturer, she was an engineer from Qantas, and she said, Michael, pay attention. It's simple. It's either a press fit, so you kind of press the propeller onto the shaft. Oh, yeah. Because it's nice and tight, yeah? Or it's a slide fit and it may have to move as a bearing, oh, yeah? Or it's an interference fit, He says, well, aren't you in the tool room at Standard Telephones and Cables? I said, yes. Is there any times when you have to get a hammer and push the part into the die? And I said, that's a bit, I can't answer that. She said, you do, don't you? And I said, yeah, if it doesn't fit, you get a bigger hammer. Well, that, I don't mean configuration like that, Grant. It has to be kind of working together. So she was really good as an engineer. I said, what do you look after? I look after the jet engines on the 747, and then I'm going to in years to come, we'll have these other planes. I said, oh, my goodness. Later on, I flew in a 747. So that's the first workshop under C. So that was context, capability, continuity, and configuration. And I'm just leaving the last one, which I was going to cover, on collaboration. So Diane covers this ISO 44001. So the things I just said about all that kind of stuff, now we're going to have to work together with other defence suppliers. And what's now happening is that the Department of Defence in Australia and the UK Ministry of Defence is required, as I said in ISO Basics, about collaborating. So we don't all have computer-aided design and computer-aided manufacturing. We don't all have the big milling machines or five-axis machining centers, or we don't have the wave soldering machines. We all have different capabilities. But sometimes what happens is you need to work together in industry. So Jenny Pitt from the Australian Institute Defence Network and others, they help their members work together to collaborate to tender. So when Dale covers his tendering course, which people have done, you may have to collaborate. So collaboration is ISO 44001, and that's now growing in importance here in Australia. So Defence likes to see that. So that was workshop one. Workshop two, and this is the P. So the P, and this is one of those things that can be pretty boring, but it's, I think, quite interesting. The reason it's quite interesting is that it covers the first thing about planning. And I'll summarise all this at the end, Grant, whereby I've mentioned about people buying the standard, and the standard's written in what they call the harmonised structure. And I'll summarise everything. But one of the important parts, which we've just covered, was context. Now we're doing the planning. And the planning can be a range of things that people already do in their business. Now, if you're a bigger company, and we've worked with some big ones, you know, the usuals in Qantas, as I've mentioned, and say BHPs and even General Motors and others that have been in, some are still here, and sometimes in the banks. Everybody has some type of a plan. So those plans in the old days used to be kind of documented when I did my first business plan back in the in the 70s. And we did this business plan. It was about 3 inches thick. And I said to the boss, what do we do with these business plans? Oh, we send them to New York, and then New York gets a look at it. We consolidate them around the world for ITT in the world. I went, oh, my goodness. Wow. So how do they get it all together and summarize it? And back in those days, they had these computers that kind of did all that. And then my boss eventually went to New York, and he presented. And what he did, he summarized the thing, which I thought might be a little bit of a fun thing. I summarized on a plan on a page. Now I'm talking 1978. So my boss goes across there, presents it to Alan Deegan and Harold S. Janine. And he says, "Hey, Frank, this is a great idea. Why don't we do this around the world? That's a great initiative." Anyway, so when Frank came back to Australia, he said, "You know that idea about the plan on the page? Yeah, they loved it." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah. And your other idea of making all the reports A4, because I know this may seem strange, Grant, but back in those days, everything was foolscap." So we then standardized it throughout the world. So then it became A4, business planning, and we did a plan on the page. So we had business plans, then we had the strategies within that, and, you know, HR strategy, IT strategy, all that type of stuff. And then we had the tactics that we're going to employ in every country. And then what are going to be the operational plans? What are we going to do day to day? What are we going to do somewhere? So planning is what people already do. As to whether it's formalized into a, you know, one page or it's a few pages, we just want to use some of those plans to identify where they're going to put the resources, which we cover later on, put the resources into support their work to do defense tenders, as Dale took them through, to support their business development, as Jackie and Brett did, so that when they present their plans, people can see that they are actually kind of organized. So planning is important. And part of that is also having a quality plan. So for some people who are not ISO 9001 certified, this may seem strange now. If you're not certified by now, don't worry. You may only be asked for a quality plan, which is simply showing what's your process for performing a particular operations in your business. Here's the controls we have to make sure the quality is right as we go through the process. And then at the end of it, we say, here's the roles of the people that are involved in this process to control it so we can guarantee you, hand on heart, that the product and service that we're delivering to you, Defence, or any other customer, has followed some plan. And if there's anything going wrong, you can always go back to your flowchart, which you plan for in regards to resources, to show them where you could have gone wrong. In working with some of the suppliers to Toyota, we did little company out at southern Sydney, and he was absolutely freaking out. He said, "I've got to make a 50% cost reduction in what I do." And I said, "Oh, okay, well, let's walk through the factory. Have you got a process flowchart or something, or process diagram?" "Oh, I did lean manufacturing." "Oh, yeah, you got a value stream map?" "Yep." So we walked through the factory, and as I'm walking through, I gave him another technique. And as we're walking through, I said, "Oh, why are you moving this? And why are you doing that?" You know, there's a bit of the five why stuff. And by the time we finished in about, you know, 2 hours and all these people were involved, they found about 60% of the processes didn't need to be on this. And he says, "How did you know that?" I said, "I didn't, but your quality plan told me your process." So the plan is important. That's ISO 10005. Now, another part is the projects. Defence likes to see you working on the projects which they're giving you, but also other things. And it's important. We've got a little company. There's only about four people up here in the New South Wales. Half the stuff they do on artificial intelligence and the Internet of Things, I have no idea. However, I have other ideas and other companies that I think that AI stuff can actually talk to the clients, other products and services which they don't know about. So I introduced them to some other companies, and the Industry Capability Network with Dusko Bajic and all those types of people in the Hunter Group, Hunter Defence Task Force. They put them in contact with other companies because they said, "Oh, your little technology can work with this big machine or this technology, and it works together." There's another little company called SafeGauge. And what he's done, he's actually done some little things to help the people making safe changes to hydraulics on big Caterpillar and Komatsu stuff. So he's blended all these technologies as a project. So Defence likes to see that. I think, as Boris did in the Defence introduction, but I think he did a very good example of you've got to be careful, because Boris's experience in Defence is sometimes they work on a project and they can get so much value out of it that sometimes they'll take it off you, and it can be quite difficult for some small businesses if they don't know that. So there's another ISO document called ISO 10006, which talks about the quality in project management. So the next one is the processes, and I won't harp on it too much. I've already covered it a bit, Grant. but the processes are the basis for everything. All work happens through a process. So if we want to get something done, we have to get the right suppliers. We've got another client under the Center for Defense Industry Capability. They've had, I think it was 280-something suppliers. Anyway, the manager got one of the, she started off as a clerk, and now she's grown into be the operations manager. And she's going on a few courses for leadership and management for women, which is fantastic at the Women and Leadership Academy. But she went through and she started to work out which suppliers should be kind of rated, you know, high risk, moderate or low. And in doing that, they're able to go back to the suppliers, one, to collaborate better, also to say about quality, and also to make sure that they kind of assess them as to whether they're going to be sustainable as a supplier to this business. And they did. Ironically, when they went out, the supplier sometimes says, "Oh, I'm glad you're here. Why? Oh, you keep on asking us for this particular material, particular product or something. Yeah. Look, we're supplying that. But you know, we've been doing this in another industry. Oh, what's that? We've got a new material. But you keep on asking us for this one, so we keep on supplying it. Oh, well, what's this other one? Well, this one is better in regards to this, and it's better functionality, better da-da-da-da. Yeah. Well, why didn't you tell us? Well, you didn't ask for it because you kept on wanting to have this specification. I said, ah. So she's gone out and had a discussion with it. She goes back to the business and she says, you know that supplier we've been working with, and sometimes they're just doing their thing and they're supplying us. Well, they've got this new material. And if we used it, we can actually change the way that we do something in the factory. Oh, how? Well, it's better. We don't have to do all the setups like we do, the changeover, the machines, the lasers do this and da-da-da-da-da. And at the end of it, it comes out right the first time, every time. And defense loves to see that. They love to see people working together. So understanding your process and where your suppliers happen to kind of have an input, and also anything else about the process. Walking through some of the factories and you pick up a procedure and as you're walking through and it says, we use gauge 0465B, and you're there as the so-called consultant or the auditor or the manager. And you say, where's this gauge? Oh, it's here. Well, that's funny. It says it's an air gauge. Yeah. How come there's no... No connection to the air compressor. Oh, it broke. So one of the things about doing the process stuff is it's very easy to see where the process doesn't work and also where other things should be there that aren't there, that can we just fix it? I won't cover too much about process because there's a whole range of things about process capability studies and statistics. And if people have been doing anything in regards quality, they would have covered Kaizen or TQM or something. So, but we'll link back to it later on in regards to the corrective actions. The next one is participation. So we've covered planning, project, process. This one is participation. So I mentioned before about people collaborating and participating. So one of the things that we've been finding in defense and other industries is that people like to participate in giving those ideas. And that young lady that I just mentioned who went back to one of the suppliers to look at their material, she got the supplier to participate in their business. And now they're having supplier days. So now the suppliers are coming in, have a look at the business. And of course, some of the workers are there to say, who are these people? Oh, they're the suppliers. And it's the funniest thing, Grant. You see is this business blah, blah, blah here? And you know, some person, yeah, that's me. All right. Come here. You see your material or you see your bearing or you see, yeah. I'm always having trouble. Why? Well, when you give it to me, it's up the wrong way. And when I turn it over, it kind of does this and does that. Oh, why didn't you tell me? I can change the packaging. And when we present it in the box to you, it can come out the way so you don't have to turn it like that. Why didn't you tell us? Oh, I don't know. So sometimes the suppliers didn't know that, and it's been very helpful. So participation in improvement, doing hazard analysis as we do in, you know, safety and accident prevention. So participation is not new, and the best ones we saw when we were doing a business planning one, we had the clerks and the people in the office. they went off to a certain area to do their SWOT analysis, which we covered early in the business basics. And they did the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And we had the board of directors doing their bit. And then when we came back, our other team members said, oh, well, they've got them both done. Oh, that's good. How did the board go? Pretty good. How did the middle management team go? Very good. I said, well, I just had all the so-called office people. They were unbelievable. What means it? I don't know, but they've been studying and doing this new stuff, artificial intelligence, Internet of Things and other things. And then one of the other consultants, she said, why don't we swap them around? Why don't we get your admin people to go first to present to the management team and then the board of directors so they can see their SWOT analysis of what they think of the business? So the people rated their weaknesses and threats. So when they presented, we looked across to the management team and the board of directors and they were all crying because the passion and the depth of analysis that these people had done was just terrific. And so in the end, the board of directors, the chairman was Wiket. He said, no sense to go on, Michael. I think we've got everything we need to do the final strategy and we'll just use what the people in the – where do you people work? So, and it was just terrific and it was a great lunch that night. So that's the participation and, of course, the performance. So one of the aspects of all management system standards is performance evaluation. So some people have goals, objectives. Nowadays, they had it for a while. People talk about SMART objectives. Well, you know, S-M-A-R-T. Well, I just had that thing about participation. So when we were doing the management action program for the NRMA insurance, they came up with a SMART-R. So I'm talking in the late 80s. So they wanted A, which is agreed. So a lot of organizations come up with, oh, I've got these big, hairy, audacious goals, you know, Tom Peters, business excellence stuff. And then the people down on the floor going, huh? I don't understand this. And how am I going to do this? So one of the things is having the right resources and the time and everything else to do it, but making sure that the goals and objectives are clear for people and it's agreed to do. So they may have the entrepreneurs program and CDIC. When you get the business review report back, they get a kind of a balanced scorecard, and that scorecard talks about the KPIs, key performance indicators, or measures that they may have their business. So that business review is very, very good, and they sometimes provide you with a IBIS World report, which is free, and they give that to the businesses to see where they are with respect to the performance of that company in relation to their competitors. So that information is very good about performance. So the last two. In regards to Capri. So R, as I mentioned in the ISO, the Defence ISO basics about job descriptions and the bullet points. Well, nowadays they like to see the process owners or the managers, and we talk about, as they do in CASG, the Capability Acquisition Sustainment Group, this balanced matrix. So you still do your own job, but you report into your boss or something, but you also have a line where that boss reports in with other managers, and also that the job descriptions are referencing the procedures or work instructions or standard operating sheets that you would use in this job to perform the duties. You know, obviously you're trained, you're competent and everything, to make this process, as we did before, the process work. So that when the managers are doing the review of their performance, of the process, they're reviewing the process more than they review the person. And funny enough, what's happening is this engagement and participation, as we find, and Defence love to see this, is that the ideas are coming out. You know, I haven't been doing this very well. You know what? I need some more training. So General Electric, in their 1960s research, they found that performance appraisals are next to useless. What they found was it was better to do the review or the appraisal when people are doing a project. So if you're working on a project and you can't do it or do it and you're not doing it correctly or something, the manager who you report to can get HR to find those kind of courses to help you get up the skills to do the job. So what's happening, that engagement is kind of working together to get you performing better in your responsibilities. The other aspect is regards what Rizwan and Wei do. So having the data and having the information about how you're doing something is to identify the risk in the processes, the risk that you have in your responsibilities, the risk that we can actually achieve the plan. So ISO 27000, I could mention that, oh, this is going to be very difficult. But if you have a process-based system, all that happens with all ISO management system standards, and also those that are not ISO, like HACCP in the food sector, or something to do with a regulation for safety or environment. I'm working in Indonesia for the bulk ship containers, so people doing the inspection. So there's world standards. So what they do, back to your job description, all that happens is the processes are integrated with all these other requirements. So 27001 for information security, which is important for defense industry security program. That's just one of those standards that is more targeted for making sure that your IT and your controls for insider threats and things is actually covered. So our team has kind of already done this, but it's just to say, don't get too scared. It's just a matter of integrating those requirements into your processes. And also there's another document called ISO 31000, which is the guidelines for managing risk in your business. You don't write your system to this kind of guideline. You just look at this kind of guidance and where you can actually better embed risk-based thinking, as ISO 9001 says, this risk-based thinking within your business processes. It's pretty easy. But don't write something separate. Still keep your own business. The next one in regards is R, so we've covered responsibilities, risk, is now resources. People know how serious you are by the people that are assigned to the project or to the job. And they doesn't matter what people can espouse up on a values and beliefs and things, when somebody's doing their job, they know how serious they are by who's actually on that project, who's doing that job. And there's an old thing our defense chiefs have said, and also Tom Peters years ago when I was at Crown Corning making the scientific glassware. Tom Peters had this in search of excellence, and he said, if you accept it, you approve it. If you walk past poor quality as a boss and you don't say anything, you approve it. But having the right culture, Joanne Furtner at Boral, when we were doing the continuous improvement program for them, she had the truck, you know, the guys that go around and delivering all the concrete, the agitators. And this thing about getting the resources, they had the right resources, the right trucks, but still the truck drivers were able to give Boral and the senior management team feedback on what was happening in the market because they were driving the truck around and they saw their competitors doing. So I said, oh, what are they doing? And so they had the right culture to go in and check it out, not having to go back to head office and ask. So having that resources. And, of course, what Rinsker covers in regards, and Sally, in regards resilience, how resilient are they? And I think everybody that's been through this pandemic period that we've been through is we're finding it's testing everybody. And are we resilient? Not just regards kind of the business resilience, but also personal resilience, because without the people, we can't do anything. And also, as that young lady did with one of our clients, she went out and visited the suppliers. So when she went out, she could tell that one of the senior managers was not right. And she just said, you know, are you okay? And she said something, and it wasn't that the manager started the cry, but you could see his shoulders just drop. She says, nah, we've got a few problems. What happened? We've just been told that the boss has got a very serious cancer and we don't have a succession plan. So they got CDIC to come in. They got some advisors to help them to define that. So it's important to have the right resources and the resilience. And, of course, the results. This is the last part of this R. And people talk about the results. So that was a good result by that young lady going out and seeing their supplier. But having the business results, so having, you know, how are we performing, our benchmarks, are we achieving something? I remember that doing a best practice, which I have to give a lecture at a university soon and also over New Zealand in the middle of the night. But it's a bit like benchmarking. I remember a comment by Camp who did this stuff about benchmarking years and years ago, and we've done a few of them around in Australia and the world. But one of the things was, I remember he said, it's pretty hard to overtake somebody when you're in the same lane. So if you're in the same lane and you've got the double, you know, lines you can't overtake and you're doing benchmarking, but the first thing is you've got to understand your business. So all these things about business results and getting, you know, achieving KPIs and that, it's very difficult unless you know your own business. So the Defence ISO Advance is building on some other things that they may want to look at. And ISO 9004 provides the guidance about how to assess the business, and it's free. so to speak. There's a 31 criteria to assess your business processes, and we've been using that in Australia and around the world. So ISO 9004 and also another handbook that was about sustainability of organisations. So the last one, the last workshop, well, for me anyway, Grant, is number four, and it's about I. So I don't mean I, me, myself, I. This is about the five things in I. So this is about involvement, improvement, investment, innovation, and integration. So I know that sounds a lot, but funny enough, it's very quickly done. We've talked about getting people involved. ISO 45001 has a range of requirements for OH&S to get people participating. It all has just released ISO 45003, which is about the psychological health and well-being of people, which Sally and others have talked about, and making sure that people are okay, getting people involved in those process improvement, problem solving. So in that improvement, ISO does not say you should use any particular technique in regard to your improvement. It just says improvement, and it's continual improvement. Why does it say continual improvement? They understand, of all the things that we've been talking about in the Defence Ready seminars, you still have to make a buck. You still have to have money coming in. So they don't want you to be continuously improving. They want you to continually improve. In other words, do your job, do something. If you've got an opportunity to make an improvement, speak to some of the people, speak to the suppliers, speak to your customers, kind of get it right, and then make some changes. My time in working in Japan with Nissan and also in the United States and also in Australia is they'd have a meeting at the end of the day, and it was quite funny. I got to one meeting. I said, why are you all unhappy? Oh, we have to go to a quality circle meeting. Oh, you don't look very happy about it. No, it's after hours. Oh, okay. Is it voluntary? Not so voluntary. So one of the things is when they turned up, I went to the meeting, by the way, and it was terrific. But the reason is because the improvement ideas were coming about what happened during the day. And they had the car there with all the plastic things on it and little pieces of string to show where the defects were. So people can use Lean or Six Sigma or Kaizen, Business Process Reengineering, TQM. Toyota still do TQM. They don't do something called Lean. They still have quality circles. Everybody thinks in the West that they've died. No, they're still going. And Toyota's probably the best in the world. And even being the best in the world, even after launching the product, they can only solve problems for 5% of what is in that product. And so the investment, Dale would have talked about the tendering and what has to happen. So you're going to make some investment, and that investment, it would show you where you've got your capabilities. So previous workshops would also summarize all the things that we're talking about so that then the supplier puts it into a quad chart. So the quad chart is a thing to show in four quadrants, of course, about all the things that we've just talked about in both my session but other sessions, so that people can summarize their capability into one document. And there's many examples, and people are quite creative on them now. So the investment of doing it, and as Dale would have talked about, if you want to go for a tender, you've got to put some money towards this, and sometimes defence will down-select you and you may be able to recover that. But as Jackie and Brett did in regards to the business development, be aware that you're going to make an investment in this business that it doesn't always return. Innovation. So this is the second last one. So Defence likes to see innovation and the commercialisation, work with universities. They've got a lot of initiatives. The Australian industry capability is very, very important. We want to have that sovereign capability. But I bet a bit of sobering information from other industries. In working with the Toyota and General Motors and Mitsubishi and Ford suppliers in Australia and around the world, especially in Asia, Toyota in particular, they don't want you to be just solely in Australia. They want to see that you've got international links, that you're actually drawing from something else, from some overseas partner or some other university, that you're actually building that innovation into your business. And so the last part is the integration. So how are we going to pull it all together? So I was what they call the convener for the Integrated Use of Management System Standards. And that's basically to end up with so-called the Integrated Management System. But this is the funny part. Once you've done everything that you've done, you can have it just back to where we started. This is your management system. This is the way, this is our system of how we manage the business. So the people can actually say, oh, it's not integrated. It's just, this is how we do things here, mate. And of course, just to finish off for everything, Grant, we've talked about people buying the standards, and that's important. But one of the things is when the management review have a meeting, they have a meeting and they can use the ISO harmonized structure, and that harmonized structure takes people through the context, what's the leadership team doing, what are our plans, how are we going to support this, what are our operations and our processes, how are we going to do the performance evaluation of our business, and the last part, how are we going to make improvements. So that's about it.
Well, that's been quite the journey through the ISO advanced workshops. And I really appreciate you've given us lots of examples. And the things that we're looking for is real world examples to help people learn. And as the listeners will have noticed, you've given so many examples today. You've also demonstrated how the ISO advanced workshops fit in with everything being done and all the rest of the Defence Ready seminars. So I think through listening to this, people will have a much better idea of everything that's going on within your ISO advanced. And it's great to hear that there's an ISO standard for everything underpinning it all. So Michael, thank you so much for coming on today. It has been an amazing journey through ISO advanced to hear about all the different standards that underpin everything and the Capri model that you're using
yes,
in structuring your workshops. And I really appreciate all those examples and how you all fit in with everything else. So Michael McLean, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks very much, Grant. All the best to everybody.
You have been listening to another Defence Ready seminar episode. For more information on the Defence Ready seminar series, please visit the Goal Group website at www.goalgroup.com.au. This episode has been produced by Southern Skies Media on behalf of Goal Group. The content in this episode cannot be used without permission from Goal Group.
Southern Skies Media.